Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio, and I'm glad to be back on the mainland. I've been over in Hawaii doing the Earth Transformation Conference and having a little stare down with Brazzo, and he won. anyway, everybody kept talking about, are you going to go see Brazzo? Are you going to go see Brazzo? And it was kind of funny, a lot of jokes about it. But what a sweet energy this guy transmits. It's pretty amazing. And it was quite an experience. But anyway, we had quite an awesome conference there. Met some wonderful people. The talk and the three-hour workshop is probably going to be available at Earth Transformation Conference in about 2 to 3 weeks. And if anything, get that conference DVD, because some amazing things transpired in that conference. And you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I had a lot of help doing that conference, and some of it showed up on film, and people are having amazing connections. And it was a hands-on, one-on-one with the higher dimensions. So we'll talk more about that later. I don't want to go too far into that because I have an awesome guest here. I've got Michael J. Murphy, and he's a peaceful, nonviolent, independent journalist and political activist. I'm still not talking yet because I just got off the plane. From the Los Angeles area, whose work focuses on issues that go beyond the interest of corporate mainstream media. And he's the producer of the film, What in the World Are They Spraying? And he's got some other amazing interviews with people we all know, like Lou Grant, Ed Asner, quite a few other people, G. Edward Griffin, I guess, who's also involved in this film. So without any further ado, I want to bring Michael on. Michael, are you with us?
I am, and aloha. I just returned from a trip of screening the film on the islands as well. So mahalo for having me on the air tonight.
yeah, great. Yeah, quite an interesting place over there. Were you on the Big Island?
I was not. I was on Maui, and then I returned back to Honolulu, where I lived for about a year. So, But we were up in the rainforest, where we actually did about 5 days of filming for What in the World Are They Spraying? So it was a great time to return and relax and get away from computers and everything else. And now I'm a little more rejuvenated and just excited to get back into things. So, no, I was not on the Big Island.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I love Maui, too. I've had some amazing experiences there and, you know, wonderful people there. Very, very awake people, it seems like, on Maui, and they're very much into alternative thinkings and, you know, expanding their consciousness. The, you know, I can't thank you enough for making this movie. I've worked a lot in this area. Actually, around in the early 90s, we got on Channel 11 here in the area, and I brought on William Thomas and a blood specialist and a few other people, and actually did a special on the aerosol spraying and the chemtrails. And within 2 days after that, we had a spraying right over our house, very low, and it pretty much dropped all of our chickens. So, you know, there's repercussions. I was wondering, have you had any repercussions from doing this kind of work?
We actually have not. No, we've been very effective in terms of getting people excited, motivated, and activated in terms of activism. In terms of repercussions, no, we have not had any setbacks, so to speak, that some other people have had. So that's been a good thing. And with that being said, I'd like to encourage other people to do what we did with the film and get activated because, you know, as you know, we're in a real crisis here in terms of the aerosol spraying, and we can get into some of the details. So, but no, I have not really had any setbacks. At all, and that's a blessing. I believe that I have angels, guardian angels, who are protecting me.
Yeah. I need a chicken angel over here. You know, but you know, it's interesting the work that you're doing. I just think it's amazing. And for those who don't know about chemtrails, can you give us a brief description on how you can tell the difference between a regular contrail and what they call chemtrails?
Sure, and we do discuss it in the film, but a contrail can be seen behind an airplane when it flies, usually above 30,000 feet. It's extremely cold conditions, and what actually can be seen is water vapor that freezes behind the engines of the aircraft. they're very uncommon. They usually dissipate in about 4 to 5 seconds. There are things that are called persistent contrails, contrails that linger around a little bit longer. They're even more rare, and they require extremely humid and cold weather conditions. So those can hardly ever be seen. A chemtrail or aerosol trails, which have been described fully by geoengineers, are actually trails that can be seen behind an airplane. They're aerosols that are sprayed behind a plane, and they usually can be seen from horizon to horizon. And after they're sprayed, they linger up to 4 to 5 hours, usually spread out. And then, for instance, like here in the morning in L.A. where I live, we usually start to see them spray at about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And usually by about 1 or 2, the sun is completely blocked out. And again, those were described exactly what geoengineers are describing as what they want to do for their stratospheric aerosol geoengineering programs. Mm-hmm. So those can be seen over just about every major city in the world, all NATO countries and then many other countries. And we've seen, wow, just as you know, a dramatic increase in the aerosol spraying just in the last 2 years. But they appear to have started in the late 1990s, probably around 1997, they became into full-scale deployment. And, of course, we've seen profound changes since that time because these aerosols that they do spray are very toxic. Many of them contain aluminum, barium, and strontium, and those are very toxic to ecosystems and also human health. And we can hopefully get into a discussion about, you know, what's being, how people are being affected and how ecosystems around the world are being affected as well.
Definitely. You know, we over here, we seem to be one of their first experiments. And I actually talked to a person for the Air Force. It was kind of a weird way how this happened, but I had a very good friend whose cousin was actually part of that program and was doing the spraying. And he actually mentioned our area here and what they were doing here. And he said it was a lot of it was because some of the work that we were doing, we became guinea pigs, I guess, for the first round. And uh-huh. It was some pretty nasty stuff there spraying. And you know, we started really looking into it right away, knowing, you know, that, you know, watching these things. And it was very obvious here because we're east of the Cascades, so we have very clear sky. And we would watch the sky in the morning, you know, start out clear blue, you know, birds singing, beautiful sky, you know, awesome day to get out in nature. And, you know, by 11 or 12 o'clock, it was toxic gray and people were, you know, itching their eyes, you know, their nose was itching, you know, next thing you know, they'd have upper respiratory problems and moving on down to gastrointestinal problems and muscle and joint pain, you know, within 2 or 3 days, you know, everybody was getting sick here. And it was immediately after the spraying. And one time we had 60% of the kids out of school, like on the second day they started spraying down with severe flu-like symptoms.
Yes. Yeah. And what exact, I have two questions for you. What area are you in? Then I had a question if you could put us in touch with the person, mm-hmm. if they'd be willing to talk about this. Wow. I'd love to interview them.
Oh boy, everybody here would love to talk, interview, you know, but, yeah, we're right at the base of Mount Adams in Trout Lake, Washington. Uh-huh. And, we're right next to McCord, not too far away from McCord Air Base. And, that's where some of this spraying is coming from. And, you know, we've got, you know, multiple witnesses that, and, you know, most of the town people here, you try to explain it to them and point to them, and they go, no, it's just a contrail. And I go, well, we're not in a flight pattern. I said, our whole sky is gridded. I said, look at this. And they just, you know, look at you sideways. You know, it's a kind of an old-fashioned Baptist logging town. And they just, you know, a lot of people, they sent their kids off to war and everything else. And they just can't believe that, you know, the government would do such a thing.
Well, it is a very difficult thing to believe, and as you know, we filmed up in Northern California in the Mount Shasta area, and they've done a lot of testing up there and found massive contaminations of aluminum oxide. And again, geoengineers are proposing spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide into the sky for what they say is the stated goal of cooling the planet. However, they deny that these programs have started. But up in Northern California, and did you have a chance to see the film yet?
I definitely did see the film, and I sent it out to everybody I knew.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Well, what had started happening about 7 years ago, things started dying. The trees started dying, and the natural growth in the forest and the areas up there started dying. And the scientists up there started doing pH tests of the soil, and what they found was that the soil was increasing anywhere between 12 to 18 times the normal alkalinity. And anybody that knows a little bit about science knows that anything that requires an acidic soil to grow will start to die when the soil changes to more basic, exactly what's happening. But they started doing further tests because they noticed these long lingering trails, and then by noon or one, the sky had been completely blotted out. And Dane Wigginton, who lives up there as well, powers his home with solar power. He's a solar expert. In the past 7 years, he's had over a 61% decline in solar power directly related to these aerosol trails. Anyways, what they had found was, again, mass contamination of aluminum, barium, and strontium. Those the combination of those particulates will cause the soil to go basic, exactly what's happening. And we're not talking about just a little bit of contamination. I'll give you an example of how high the contamination is. On Mount Shasta, an aluminum test was taken about 7 years ago or 8 years ago, and it was high. They found 7 parts per billion aluminum. There should be zero, no aluminum up in that area in the rain or in the snow at all because it's far removed from any industry. Well, a test was taken last year, and it increased incredible amounts to 61,100 parts per billion. I mean, the aluminum levels are off the charts. So that's how much they have seen an increase in these toxins. And during that time, God, they've seen, like I said, profound changes within the growth and within the ecosystems up in that area. And it appears that they get sprayed a little more up in that area. And the theory is, and this is only speculation, that it's due perhaps because of the jet stream. The jet stream comes into that area, and maybe it's a way for them to disperse more of this fine particulate into our skies. Of course, that eventually falls down. We breathe it in, and aluminum is very toxic to aluminum oxide to human health.
Yeah, what's the now the EPA after, I don't know what the number is. Do you know what the number is after it gets to a certain level? They're supposed to be on it. You know, they're supposed to be all over that when it hits a certain level, and it's gone, what, 6 or 7 times the level necessary for the EPA to declare it a toxic zone.
Well, we wish it was only 6 to 7, but EPA is supposed to come in. Government action is required for drinking water allowables at 1,000 parts per billion. So this is over 61 times that amount. The concern is hikers hike on that mountain, as you know, for several days, and they use that snow for hydration purposes, and it's literally toxic. Hopefully our film is going to be a catalyst to wake people up. Do not drink the snow. You know, when we were young and little, it was do not drink or eat the yellow snow, and now today it's do not eat the snow, period.
Yeah. Yeah, don't eat the glowing snow is going to be the next one. It seems
don't eat the snow at all.
Yeah. The it's amazing, you know, what is happening. I mean, we're watching those effects here, and there were people that wanted to come and check out our pond water and some of the other things, and they said, hey, we're going to come take samples and everything else, but they never did, and we're going to analyze those samples, but it never happened. But we have been just getting mega doses. And I think because we are at, you know, we're at 2,000 feet, we're getting even more, it seems like, because they, you know, they come in a little lower over us than they would other areas. And it's just amazing the side effects and how it affects your body and how you get, you know, you start getting your eyes itching, you know, upper respiratory, all those things start happening. almost immediately, you know, within a day, you know, during the day or a day after that, they start spraying all these heavy metals and other things too. Now, have you gotten into the other side of, I know William Thomas and Clifford Carnicom, I don't know if there's going to be a part two where you're going to get into the biological aspect of what they've been pulling out of these chemtrails.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, and because there are a lot of questions that still remain to be unanswered. And you had mentioned a name of somebody who I respect quite a bit, and that's Clifford Carnicom, mm-hmm. who has really been a pioneer in the chemtrail geoengineering issue. And like you said, he's uncovered a lot of biologicals that they're mm-hmm. spraying. Of course, governments around the world do have histories of doing human experimentation. So Clifford Carnicom has done a lot of incredible work in that area. My goal when starting the film, because it's tough enough to, and including me, you know, the first person that told me that airplanes were spraying chemicals into the sky to create artificial clouds, I really thought that the person was crazy. It wasn't until somebody had pointed it out, probably, God, a couple of years later, and showed me the airplane spraying, and began to spark my curiosity. And then upon research, what we had uncovered, and then, of course, going to the geoengineering conference and hearing geoengineers openly talk about these programs really freaked me out, and that's why we decided to do the film. So with that being said, again, we had, you know, I had two goals in mind or two parts in mind. I wanted to get a film out to the masses that, A, prove that, A, we are being sprayed, and, B, that these programs are a threat to human health and ecology. I think that we did that conclusively, and it's been a very effective film because, as of now, it's had millions of views. Just in the first month, it was estimated to have over 1 million Internet views. That's not including sales of the DVD. And it keeps on growing exponentially. So we know that we're having an impact not only here in the U.S., but also around the world. The film has been translated into about 7 or 8 different languages that I'm aware of. So it has been a great film to create the awareness that we've been looking for. And I think, like you had mentioned, the next step is to go a little bit deeper. We answered a lot of questions in the film, and it has, again, it's been a groundbreaking film for this issue because we have just seen an incredible awakening. But, yeah, we're hoping to do a part two. And, again, it's been extremely busy for G. Edward Griffin and I. We're getting our amount of emails and phone calls are growing exponentially every day, so it's been a challenge to keep up with those. But that's a good sign for the movement. And yeah. We've also started a coalition against geoengineering. So anybody that's interested in joining, we can keep you updated on, you know, new articles, new findings, and then also, you know, some events that are happening, and that's the Coalition Against Geoengineering.org.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a, you know, in the news, I'm sure you've seen it, they're having these massive bird die-offs and fish and crab die-offs all over the world, and there's some common denominator, it seems, that's creating these events. Do you think chemtrails could be tied into this?
I definitely think they are, and again, it's speculation. I would love to find some time to investigate this, but we know that there are various weather modification programs throughout the U.S. Chemtrails definitely are related to that because the HAARP program, which has weather modification and earthquake technologies, if that's not hard enough to believe, requires fine metal particulate to be in the sky. To emit its frequency through it. So as a result, we've seen incredible changes within our weather, dramatic weather, and a lot of people are scratching their head wondering why. Well, the answer is we have our military who has an expressed interest of owning the weather, and there's, in fact, a military document that can be found on the Internet, owning the weather by 2025, and that's an express goal of our military here in the U.S. So with that being said, yes, we believe because the HAARP program uses a high-level frequency and they can heat up areas of the ionosphere in different parts of the sky. Why do they do that? Because that can actually move and control different jet streams. So it appears that this bird die-off, and the fish die-off could be in part related to this frequency that's being sent out. I mean, birds don't typically fall out of the sky in massive levels unless there's some sort of technology or frequency that's sent out to them. So with that being said, I do. You know, I definitely think it's totally related to our issue. And but I can't say conclusively because I am an investigator. And
yeah,
I think it's something that I'd like to get some more answers to. But yeah,
I think we all would. There's so many possibilities there that, you know, it could be. That was my first impression, that it was probably HARP and chemtrail related. It did seem like these birds were microwaved and their livers were just turned to liquid. And, you know, they're saying blunt trauma. Well, there's two things that could do that. One, an extreme nerve agent that they have. They have several of those that would do that. When you breathe it in, it just liquefies the lungs and the inside of the bird or the human or whoever else they spray it on it. And, I know recently one of the top people in that field was just murdered, I guess, because he was going to blow the whistle on this project and that some of the experimentation that they've been doing and that we're going to do in the future. And I guess they found him in a dumpster or something, dumped out in the dump. But, you know, that's one speculation I've heard. And then, you know, the other one was basically what most people think it is. It's some kind of a HARP technology or something of that nature that just basically microwave the birds in the air.
Right, right. And I know I'm aware, which I have not had time to listen to, of two good interviews on that. One, I believe, was on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. And then I think Alex Jones has done some work on that. He brings up a lot of great documentation from what I'm told. So anybody that's looking for more information on that should go to those two websites, and I think you'll find, you know, some answers or at least some pretty good theories on exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your investigation, did you track this down to actually maybe where these planes are coming and going from and who is actually behind this? I mean, who is giving the order to spray these extremely toxic chemicals and heavy metals on you know, the American people? I guess it's a global thing, so I'd say the whole world.
Well, it is a global thing, and to answer your question, no, we didn't. We had thousands of ideas for the film, two goals in mind, which I expressed earlier, and limited budget and limited amount of time to fit it all in. So that was one of the things which I think is definitely important. However, we chose not to include that in the film. It would have taken considerable amount of travel time, investigation, et cetera, et cetera. Evergreen Air Base in Arizona, believed to be a CIA air base, or proven to be a CIA air base, is believed to be one of the many places that these airplanes are flying out of. Of course, there have been military KC-135s photographed, and also Air Force jets. And then I have heard that people have seen some UN planes. So in terms of who's behind it, the belief is that this is part of a New World Order agenda. And again, we have a couple of good theories of why they're spraying. Of course, geoengineers state that it's for the benefit of mankind, and the spraying is to save the planet from this supposed threat of global warming. However, they deny that it's happening. There's a mountain of evidence that proves that it is happening. With that being said, we believe that those who are behind the New World Order going for global governance are directly behind this. And the reason is this. You know, we spoke about some of the theories of why they're spraying, and one is related to weather modification. And that's a big concern. And people say, why would the New World Order be interested in that? Well, if you look at you know, the New World Order agenda, they want to create a global governance. And if you can literally control the weather, you have godlike powers. And if you have a country that's not conforming or does not want to bow down to or worship this global governance or bow down to it or adhere to it, you can just literally create drought in that region. And then soon enough, they will be begging for this capitalism and to sign on. The second theory, which is deeply concerning, is that the GMO seed manufacturers, who are in part, you know, involved with this New World Order corporate government conglomerate, which I call the beast, they have developed at Cornell University in 2009 an aluminum-resistant seed. And the concern is this. As I stated before, we filmed for a week in Maui, and we stayed completely off the grid on an organic farm, and it was just an incredible way to live. For the first time, I was living independent from any corporate influence in stores. I was literally woke up in the morning and would pick my breakfast off of the trees and lunch and everything else. And the group of the people that we stayed with, that is how they live. They live completely off the land, are completely independent. However, they're beginning to see a decline in the things that are growing, the things that are natural and organic. And the concern is this. We know that aluminum oxide just changed the pH of soils. And we know that around the globe where the spraying is being found, that yields, the natural and organic foods, are beginning to decline as well. So the concern is that if the spraying continues, that nothing will be able to grow without this new aluminum-resistant seed. So it looks like it could be part of an agenda to literally control anything that's natural and organic. So it looks like what they're doing is trying to take away the dominion, things that were under, I guess, the authority of nature or what God had created, and bringing it now under the authority of this corporate conglomerate. And then the third theory, which I thoroughly believe in, is that this is in part depopulation. We know aluminum oxide is very toxic. In the past 10 years, we've seen an incredible increase in aluminum-related illness. One is Alzheimer's, which here in L.A. County has increased by over 200% in a 10-year period. And that's just stating one. There are a number of other illnesses. And, of course, barium, which is being found in mass contamination as well, lowers our immune system, and it creates high blood pressure. So during heavy spray days, people do have an increase in not only strokes but also heart attacks. So and these metals, when we breathe them in our bodies become contaminated, and, of course, people around the world where the spraying is found is being witnessed have found extremely high levels of aluminum in their hair, in hair follicle tests. So a deep concern is that this is in part a depopulation measure, a measure literally to lower the depopulation, which we know is part of this elite banker goals and agenda. And if anybody would question that, I would ask you to look at eugenics policies and people such as the Ford Foundation, Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and even Bill Gates, who, by the way, his family does have a history of being involved with eugenics. And Bill Gates is a heavy funder into geoengineering. And that news has just been released within the past couple of months. So that's a deep concern for many people as well. And we know that people, A, are getting sick from this, and we know that people are dying prematurely because these aerosols do accumulate in the body and do eventually start depleting our immune system and other important nutrients. So it's a deep concern of mine and many other people.
Well, you know, I've watched my own health. I used to be able to work, these kids here into the ground, and I'd just go all day long and no problems. And I've noticed that I just don't have the wind I used to have. I have a lot more muscle and joint pain. I had a lot of, respiratory and gastrointestinal problems. And what's interesting is everybody is getting hit with this, and it definitely does knock down your immune system. It knocks down your overall health and just your stamina, longevity, everything. It's amazing, watching the side effects, but I do things to counteract it, luckily, but most people don't even know it's happening to them, and they don't know what to do about it.
That's right. And awareness is the key. And a lot of people, I think, are scratching their head who are unaware of these programs. going, you know, why are my kids sick? Why is asthma on the rise? Why do we have all these illnesses? And one stat, respiratory mortality has gone from number 8 on the list of mortality down to number 3 just in the past 7 years. I mean, that's an incredible jump. So, yeah, people are definitely dying. And the people who, again, who are unaware are scratching their head going, why is there such an increase in illness? Why am I not feeling good? Well, we believe that we have an answer to that question. And I know that I do a lot of bike riding. I'm very active, but on heavy spray days, I really struggle with getting out there on the bike, and I notice some changes in my breathing patterns. So, yeah, there's no question that people are getting effective, and I ask anybody who's unaware of this just to correlate the way that you feel. If you're not feeling good in a day, look up and see if they're spraying. I can tell immediately before I get out of bed if I'm irritable, and like you had mentioned, some joints, feeling a little bit out of wind, then I can pretty much guarantee you that they're spraying, which, of course, they usually are here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it seems. Now, I heard one theory, too, is they want to turn us all into big antennas, and the more we breathe in these heavy metals, the more we become an antenna for some of the other psychotronic the psychotropics, too, go into that, Prozac and all these other things open us up to that kind of energy as well. But a lot of the psychotronic energies, they can actually broadcast these energies through HARP or a satellite or something else and actually broadcast the energy that would make you totally sedate. It would make you irritable. They could change your whole mood just by broadcasting these frequencies. And, there's all these different speculations in it. And, I mean, I wouldn't put anything past, some of the experimentation going on, after I've seen what they've done in the past. But, it's just so crazy, all the different things. I think they're doing multiple things just so people can't nail it down as just one specific event or purpose that's happening.
Right. I think so as well. And again, the people who truly are believed to be behind this are people who desperately want control. They want to enslave the human race, and it's something that's actually mentioned in several different prophecies, including the Bible. The book of Revelations talks about many of these things. But there is a group of people who desperately want to control, and enslave the rest of humanity. And what a better way if you can control the moods and the way that people behave. And it's interesting because, again, David Keith, who is in the film, he again, is considered to be the number 3 geoengineer in the world. He had made a comment about a month and a half ago that was concerning to a lot of us, and he said geoengineering gives man godlike powers. And I don't think I want a scientist with maybe 50 years of experience in life and within systems to have godlike powers. It's not something that I'm comfortable with. I would like to have a loving God who has godlike powers and put my faith and trust in that God, not in man.
Yeah, I agree. What I see is that if there was let's say there's an extremely advanced race, they would choose their leaders according to their spiritual abilities, you might say, or their evolution and how advanced they were. And their track record of service, to humanity and the earth. Whereas these guys that want these godlike powers have a long track record of disservice, of selfishness and covert acts and being paid very well for these programs that are extreme disservice to humanity and the earth.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we know that these programs are about death, they're about destruction, and they're about control. These are things that conflict, God, as I understand my God to be, who is about love, freedom, free will, choice, and in life. So these things are anti what many people who believe in Christianity call anti-Christ. It's the anti-Christ system that's rapidly developing. These people do not have love, in their hearts. They have, they have this hate, death, and other agenda, and they really, they want this power. They strive for this power. They strive for this godlike control to have over uh-huh. people and have over human beings. And again, that's not something I'm really in an environment that I'm too comfortable living in. So I think it's important for those of us who are aware of this and who know what's going on to speak up. And of course, let me tell you, since the film has been released, I get emails, many emails every day of people, you know, wanting to know what they can do. Well, a big part of this, my belief, is getting the word out there, because I think about 90% of the population is still unaware of these programs. Once you become aware of it, it's a little hard to ignore when you see them spraying up above. But still, a lot of people, whether it's because they're looking down at their iPhones or just, you know, have too much going on, have not noticed it. So I want to encourage all of the listeners to get active and to get out there and point this out. We ask anybody who purchases a DVD of What in the World Are They Spraying to make multiple copies and hand them out for free, you know, in support of our vision, making this issue known to all. And we've been, you know, very effective with getting people activated and doing that. Senator Karen Johnson, who is now retired, actually went back on the Senate floor and I sent her a bunch of DVDs that we had made copies for, and she actually handed them out to all the legislators, including the governor of Arizona, to create an awareness. And that's what we need. We need to get people active. We need to get people motivated to address this. And then, you know, a number of people are writing their lawmakers, their public officials, and just really getting activated with this. So for the first time, I have... Not fear of this issue, and the reason is because I know that so many people are starting to get active with this, and starting to get excited about taking action. For me, it's either be fearful and get concerned when they spray, but when we have heavy spray days, I'm like, you know what, this is fantastic. I'm going to go out into my neighborhood and start pointing this out to people, and I really enjoy it. I have a blast because now my neighborhood is becoming aware and awakened to this issue. And I have neighbors knocking on my door saying, hey, can I have, you know, some more DVDs? I want to hand them out to people at work. So it's an exciting time to be alive, because I think for the first time we have humanity is beginning to wake up to this this agenda and starting to take action. So really an incredible time. I'm excited.
Yeah, I love watching the movie when you brought it to the attention of all these different senators and congressmen and everybody. You know, they wouldn't even talk about it or look at it. They just blew it off, and it shows the lack of response and caring for humanity, you know, in these highest level government. And also too, we had a friend of mine here who's a chemical engineer. I won't mention his name. I don't want to get him in trouble, but he's a chemical engineer, and he was doing a lot of, you know, checking into all of this, and he was calling up senators and congress people and in our area and saying, hey, what is going on? He goes, don't blow this off. Don't tell me it's a contrail. I know what this is. It, you know, he goes, I have friends that have, you know, major, clearances and pilots and things like that. And he said, I'm a chemical engineer. And so they said, we'll look into it. You know, we'll look into it. And basically what happened was they looked into it. One woman made a call to an admiral, and basically he called her back, and she says, you know what, I'm dropping this. He goes, I was told if I love my family and my career and I want to continue that I will not look into this issue. And that was the end of it. So, I mean, even some of the senators and the others are really afraid of, and, you know, admirals are afraid of going up, you know, and dealing with this issue.
Well, absolutely. And these are multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar operations. So we know that there are a lot of monetary and political interests associated with this. So to go out to be a public official and address this publicly is not, it's kind of taboo. You know, we could go back to Dennis Kucinich, who back in 2001 wrote the Space Preservation Act, where in that he had actually called for the ending of, quote-unquote, chemtrails. Before the bill went to vote, chemtrails had been removed. We know during that year that a couple members of his family had died mysterious deaths, whether it's related, you know, I can't say conclusively. But yeah, it appears that there's a lot of pressure on any public official that's willing, you know, to really go after this and address this. But my question is this: what are the consequences if we don't? Mm-hmm. And they're very severe because, again, people are dying from this. It's not a quick death, but it is a slow death. So, you know, in one of the hopes for in producing the film was to just let the people know, perhaps, who are involved with these programs, just how damaging they are. I think, you know, to give the benefit of the doubt, I think a lot of the pilots and people who are involved with these programs have no idea how damaging they are. Once they see our film, I think we'll become more aware of this. And, God, we're just hoping to get more whistleblowers, people who are willing to identify themselves and stand up against this tyranny. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the only reason that they have been able to get away and do these horrible things, not only to the human race, but also to humanity, is because people are fearful of the consequences of exposing this. What are the consequences of not?
Exactly.
We need a group of heroes right now and incredible people to stand up to this and to say no. And when we have that, they will have to stop spraying. It's a tough thing to do, but it's something at this point that's absolutely needed.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, we can't ignore this situation just because of the horrendous effects that's already happening and will continue to happen, you know, to us, you know, individually and the entire planet and the entire ecosystem. We can't ignore this situation. And, you know, what I've seen too is that all these military applications and testing and biological testing, chemical testing, all these things have been going on for so long. And I always have to ask myself, who are these people that, you know, have sworn an oath to protect and serve and, you know, maintain the Constitution and everything else? Who are these people that are willing participants in this? And as you say, they may or may not know, or they just turn a blind eye to what they're doing. But I just have a hard time, you know, seeing some guy go, "Honey, I'm home. You know, I just sprayed the whole family in the neighborhood with biologicals and chemicals and heavy metals. You're all going to get sick for a little while, but hey, it's a paycheck, and I gotta pay the mortgage." You know.
That's right. That's right. And unfortunately, you know, we have too many people at that time that are, I think, largely unaware of the consequences, the longer term consequences, not only to themselves but also to their families. So, you know, but again, that number of people are beginning to wake up. They are beginning to realize that the season that we're in, you know, the terrible season and the things that are being done. And for the first time, again, people are starting to get active, and they're starting to get motivated to take action on this, and that's very exciting to me.
Yeah, it's I think on every level. I think, you know, what I get the pulse from people, you know, sending me emails and calling and everything else, that you know, people are just fed up. They are so fed up with all the shenanigans, all the billions of dollars that aren't accounted for. You know, the spraying, the banksters, everybody losing their homes and, you know, letting the military, just, you know, basically cutting their benefits off and ignoring how sick they've been, you know, from Agent Orange and the Gulf War syndrome, all those things. It's all coming to a head. And I think it's just a matter of time before there's just one big uprising. You know, a major wave or uprising where people just say enough's enough. You know, we need people of integrity, you know, people of courage, you know, people that are truly of service to be working for us. And these other people who aren't need to just, you know, find a new vocation. You know, they should go, you know, start, you know, creating something useful, you know, in their remaining days, you might say.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We definitely need some new American heroes, people who are willing again to stand up for the rights, to stand up for the human race, and, you know, people of integrity. And I think that's right around the corner. And for the most part, I think that we've begun to see that. And that's, to me, very exciting. And and it does give me hope. So
it does seem to be going in that direction. Now, have you seen now I just got an email and I haven't been able to really look into it, but it looks like Ron Paul has come up with something and, you know, some kind of bill again to stop all the geoengineering and the chemtrail program.
I have heard, and yes, I saw the information on that, and it looks fantastic, but I had just received a couple of emails with people that checked with his office stating that that was a rumor and that's false. However, again, I'd like to check things out myself. I have not spoken to his office, but I might give him a call, but I don't think that it is credible, but I think perhaps all of the attention that it has given him, and I know that a number of people have called the office, might encourage him to look into this more and perhaps address it. So, yeah, when I saw that, I was like, that's right. Thank you, Mr. Ron Paul, for your service to America. This is incredible. But, yeah, I did hear that was not 100 or at all factual.
That's too bad. I've always felt, you know, this one guy sent me an email and he wanted Ron Paul for president, Dennis Kucinich for vice president, and oh God, what's our Jesse Ventura, you know, to clean house, you know, and you know, that might not be a bad combo. You know, that might be what's necessary to, you know, get back to basics and turn this country around.
I think so. We definitely need to get some true patriots in there. However, as we know, the resistance would be incredible for something like that. However, we should expect, you know, resistance when we do things that are good in a season of darkness. So something that we absolutely should expect. And but what are the consequences if we don't take action? You know, what are the consequences if we don't stand up for the human race? What are the consequences if we don't stand up, you know, being that our soils are being toxified, being that our weather is being manipulated and people around the world are being harmed and hurt by this, you know, where does it end? So I think we do, again, need some true patriots to get active and involved.
Yeah, you can imagine the damage report, you know, that comes out on, you know, all of the flooding going on and, you know, the loss of life and homes and the illness and just everything. If you added all that up, just the extreme pain and suffering these people have created, you know, karmically, I definitely believe in karma. You know, what goes around comes around, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap, whatever you want to say. I can imagine what these guys who just lust for power and wealth at any expense, it's insatiable. Like, at what point does this all implode, you know, in on them? And that's what I feel is happening energetically. The whole planet is awakening and going through a frequency shift or a vibrational lifting. And in the end, you know, no deed goes unseen or unpunished, basically, or whatever, that they are going to be seen for who they are and what they've done. And there will be an accelerated karmic reaction around this. And that's what I'm seeing happening, that it does really feel like that is what's in the books right now. That's what's unfolding as we speak.
Well, I would have to agree with you on that. So I definitely want to be on the right side of things.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, you know, the old saying, you know, you better get right with yourself because there's some big things coming down. And if you're not on the right side of the fence, you know, you're not going to be doing too well in the days to come. And I've heard that, you know, even the Native American prophecies talk about a beast, you know, and they said the beast is 2,000 miles wide, which represents how long it's going to reign. And they said this beast is just all controlling, all consuming. It just wants to dominate and control and consume everything. But they said right when you're about ready to give up hope, the beast consumes itself. And then after that, there's the Thousand Years of Peace and everything else. But, you know, they talk about the spider webs in the skies, which I think are chemtrails, there's telephone wires. I think those spider webs in the skies and the death winds and everything else they talk about, I think are directly related, you know, to the chemtrails. And, I do believe that the beast is going to fall, and everybody who serves the beast is going to fall, you know, right along with it, or going to be underneath it when it does go down. And the people that do choose to live in harmony with each other and the planet are the ones that are going to move on and fare through these major shifts and changes.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page of that. It's a good thing to be on the right side. And, you know, I certainly respect the work that you're doing to bring awareness to issues like this and to, you know, educate people on it. And that's what's needed as well. So for me, I think education is very important, and that's obviously one of the major reasons why I made the film. And, of course, people say, how did you get involved with G. Edward Griffin and everything else? And I see, you know, it was definitely divinely ordered. We definitely had a spiritual guiding with this. I started the film with a borrowed video camera in Northern California, didn't even know how to press play on the thing. And 7 months later, after a series of miracles, D. Edward Griffin wanted to get involved with me. Of course, he's world-renowned and very good at what he does. He said, I want to get involved with your documentary. I couldn't be more thrilled. And we ran a funding campaign. It was amazing because within a day and a half, we had hit our funding goals. And we actually went three times above our funding goals. And because of that, we were able to produce, you know, a groundbreaking quality film, professional film, and we brought on some very talented people from Hollywood. It's to live in the Hollywood area, so we had a bunch of incredible people come on board, and what we had was an incredible film. So couldn't be more pleased and more humbled by the spiritual guidance that we had for it.
Oh, yeah, I know there are so many people. You know, when I saw the film come out, I was like jumping for joy, going, finally, you know, here's a professional documentary that has everything in it, and it just sticks to the facts and nails it and says, you know, this is irrefutable evidence that this is going on. And I know there's a lot of side things around this going on, too, that you didn't get into, because I know you wanted to just nail it, you know, that you know, it's bad enough with the aluminum, barium, and strontium. You don't have to go much further than that. But, you know, I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing and the courage that it took to do this. And there are so many people I know that are behind it that are just jumping for joy that somebody actually, you know, did, you know, have the courage and the integrity to bring this information out.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Is there now, what's the best way, if people want to get a hold of your DVD, what is the best way for them to get a hold of it?
Well, it's available in many different locations. I do have a website, and again, purchasing for me would help me move forward and be able to address this like I am now on a daily basis. You can go to my website for sales of the film, which is www.stopspraying.us. So just remember, stop spraying us. www.stopspraying.us. And purchase the film. I'll mail it out to you. Let me know if you want a signed copy. Some people do want a signed copy. We'll make sure that you get hold of it. And again, anybody that purchases, we ask that they make copies of the film and distribute it out to as many people as they can in support of our vision of making this issue known to all.
Great. So do we think there's the possibility of a part two coming out where we can bring maybe Clifford Carnicom and all these other guys on and just, you know, get a little deeper into to what seems to be coming out of those nozzles?
I certainly would love to do that. Right now we're just, we have an avalanche of addressing questions and issues, but that's something that, you know, again, it was divinely ordered, the first film, and if I see the signs, I will definitely move forward and making a second film. So yeah, I'd love to do that.
Well, yeah, awesome. You know, we're out of time, unfortunately. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and the work that you're doing. I think it's just amazing. And I know we will continue to do everything we can to get the message out as well. And hopefully we can someday put an end to this madness.
Well, we hope so. And thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure. And keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Well, unfortunately, folks, we're out of time, and we've got to move on, so I can't thank you enough for listening, and, you know, get this DVD, check out the website, and, you know, purchase that DVD and make copies, as he said, you have permission to, and send it out to everybody and sit on your senator's doorstep, you know, or his office, and just say, watch the film, I want an answer, you know, I want an answer as to what you're going to do about this. Because this is affecting the entire planet, and the adverse effects are just beyond imagination. And we need to put an end to this. So anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.